Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is continuing with a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're learning about what it means to present ourselves as a living sacrifice for the Lord. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 1, for a message called Transformed as we go back to basics.
Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as we come to this 12th chapter, we come now to the practical portion of the epistle where Paul tells his readers, it's time to take the grace of God that saved them and put it on display for others to see, experience, and be blessed by. Here, Paul tells us three things that we are to do as redeemed people. We are to, number one, present our bodies as living sacrifices. Secondly, we are not to be conformed to this world. And then thirdly, we are to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So those are the three things that we want to consider together this morning. But let me read you the verses that we just read once again. But let me read them from another translation from the New Living Translation. It goes like this. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You know, sometimes I think it's good to read through some different translations. They all essentially say the same thing, but they, you know, sometimes you just get sort of a little bit of a different angle on it, or sometimes it just says it so plainly and unmistakably, as is the case here, where, as Paul is saying, you know, to present your body as a living sacrifice, I beseech you by the mercies of God. I like the way the New Living Translation puts it, because of all that God has done for you, because that's really the appeal that the apostle is making here. And so, what is he saying to us? He's saying that we are to, first of all, present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, in that culture, they, of course, would understand sacrifice, especially those coming from the background in Judaism, with the temple and the sacrificial system and the priesthood and the long history of the scriptures and so forth. But you know, even the pagans would have understood that because their various religions had that element of sacrifice in them as well. But what is the idea here? The picture that Paul is really presenting is that of a sacrifice that is given, but it's something given entirely to God. It's something that is given with nothing being held back whatsoever. And that's really what the apostle is calling us to. He's calling us to complete and total surrender of our bodies, minds, and hearts to God. A complete and a total surrender. That we are not holding anything back, but we're coming to Him and we're just, you know, everything that I am, my mind, my heart, my will, my body through which I express all of these things. Lord, I am giving myself entirely to you. Just like a sacrifice would be put up on the altar and it would be entirely consumed. So, Lord, I'm giving you my life that you might take it and do with it as you please. That's what the apostle is appealing to us to do. And the basis upon which we are to do this, as we've already mentioned, is because of all that God's done for us. So as he says to them, I beseech you, or I implore you, or you could even translate it, I beg you, by the mercies of God. Now, everything that Paul has said up until this moment has been in one way or another an explanation of the mercies of God. That's what he's been talking about. And we've seen that as we've made our way through Romans, as we looked at the 8th chapter and some of the things there that we spent some time contemplating, just God's goodness and his love and his commitment to us and his promise to sustain us in this life and his plan to bring us ultimately into glory, and how all of this is rooted in the fact that he came into this world in the person of his son, Jesus Christ, and he did the unthinkable. He gave up his life for us. He laid down his life for us. He died in our place so we could live. So these are all aspects of the mercies of God, and this is what Paul is using as his basis to call us to a complete surrender of our lives. He says, hey, based on everything that God has done for you, this is the proper response. You know, even on a human level, when somebody does something for us that's just, you know, above and beyond anything we could have imagined, when somebody shows just such a magnanimous spirit toward us or something, you know, there's something in us that says, well, you know, I want to reciprocate. I want to express my thanks to that person. I want to do something to show them how much I appreciate what they've done. And that's what Paul is saying. This is how you show God how much you appreciate what he's done for you. You do it by presenting your bodies as a living sacrifice, giving ourselves over to him entirely. And Paul says, for this is your reasonable service. There's nothing unreasonable about this. Some people would balk at this and say, oh, well, you know, come on. You know, a full commitment? I mean, like 100%? Well, that sounds a little bit extreme. No, it's not at all, because think about it. This is exactly what Jesus did for us. Jesus came, he didn't come half-heartedly. He wasn't partially committed to his mission, was he? He was entirely, totally devoted to the mission of saving us. And it cost him his life. He had to give up his life as a sacrifice to God in order to save us. So it's not at all unreasonable that we would respond in the same way. It's a reasonable service. You know, it's also possible to translate the words reasonable service as this is your spiritual act of worship. You see, this is the way we really worship the Lord. Now, I know today, quite often, when we talk about worship, we seem to not be able to disconnect that from singing. You know, that's just sort of where we've gone in our understanding. And, you know, we talk about it, you know, we say, okay, we're going to have a time of worship. That means we're going to be singing this morning, and then we're going to have a Bible study, and then we're going to, you know, and we break it up like that. But the reality is true worship, although it certainly can include singing and many other things, true worship is a life that is surrendered to God. That is your spiritual act of worship. That is what true worship is from God's point of view. He sees those whose lives are surrendered to him as the true worshipers that he himself is seeking. So this is what we're to do. First and foremost, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Give ourselves entirely over to the Lord. And then secondly, he tells us that we are not to be conformed to this world. Now, the reality is you can't do both things. If you're going to be a living sacrifice, you can't at the same time be conformed to the world. And so if you're being conformed to the world, then you're not really a living sacrifice in the sense that God is calling us to be. So being conformed to the world is something that we're not to do. Now, Paul actually, in the Greek text, it reads more accurately, stop being conformed to the world, or stop allowing the world to mold you into its image. The world is a very powerful force, isn't it? And the world is always seeking to impose its system on us. You know, it's so funny. You hear people talking about Christians, and they say, well, you know, those Christians always trying to shove their religion down our throat, and, you know, we don't want to have any of that. Well, the world is happy to shove its philosophy down your throat, and nobody seems to think there's anything the matter with that. That's exactly what the world does. There's a system that is wanting to mold us and shape us all into its image. And anybody who doesn't conform, anybody who doesn't agree, then there's something to be paid for that. There's ostracization, there's ridicule, there's sometimes even persecution. These things happen. But nevertheless, we're not to be conformed to this world. But here's the question. What does that mean exactly? What does it mean, not being conformed to the world? Well, it doesn't primarily refer to external things, and I say that because this is so often how the church has interpreted this. It's interpreted it so often to just refer to external things. So then Christians are people who quite often are just, you know, externally different, but maybe they're not all that much different inside of them. Somebody was telling me a story the other day about when they were a kid growing up in a particular denomination. They lived in a small community, and there were a number of churches in the community. And, you know, somehow there developed, even in the community, competition between these churches. And he was saying back in junior high, he remembers encountering a kid, and the kid came up to him and kind of pointed his finger and said, hey, you know, I belong to such and such a Pentecostal church across town, and our women don't wear makeup. And he said, okay, well, you know, I belong to such and such a church, and at our church, we don't, you know, we don't dance, or something like that, you know. And that, so those were the things. And then, you know, a few weeks later, it came out that the church of the first kid that came up, well, his pastor ended up running off with the secretary, and obviously, that wasn't good. But then these two young kids kind of met each other again. And the one kid said to the other kid, he said, hey, I belong to the church where the pastor doesn't run off with a secretary. And a fist fight broke out as a result of that. So they started, you know, beating each other up over who had the better church. And this is the kind of thing that happens when you turn Christianity into merely an external kind of a thing. You see, this is not what is primarily being spoken of here. It does not primarily refer to external things, the way we dress or style our hair, the music we listen to, the films we watch, the books we read, the places we go, and so on. Now, of course, it could have reference to these things. It could have reference to these things, with the exception, of course, of hairstyles. I don't think there is a particular hairstyle that is more godly than any other. But Paul is talking about something bigger, more pervasive. He's talking about something more subtle. So when he says that we're not to be conformed to the world, let's not think of it merely in terms of the external. This is what Paul's really talking about. Being conformed to the world is the practice of excluding God from our lives. Because that's really the mentality of the world, isn't it? That's where the world is at. Isn't this what we are seeing more and more in our culture today? The exclusion of God. The trend is to try and push God further and further out of public life. People are saying things like, we don't want to hear about God. We don't care what he thinks or what he said. We don't want God butting into our lives. You know, if you want to worship God, that's fine. You do that down at your church, but don't dare come out in the public and express that. Don't tell us what God thinks about this, that, or the other thing. That's the mentality that we see in the world. That's the philosophy of the world. Now, you can even believe in God. But live your daily life as though there was no God. And many people do this. It's called practical atheism. You believe in God, theoretically, but the way you live your life practically would never at all indicate that you believe that there was a God. You live according to a value system that is rooted in humanistic philosophy rather than God's word. And yet go to church, say your prayers, give your tithe. But the fact is there's very little difference between your lifestyle and that of your unbelieving neighbor or work colleague. This is what Paul's talking about when he's talking about being conformed to the world. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not let the world mold you into its image, this godless image. The less of God, the better. That's the mentality of the world. But no, as God's people, as redeemed people, as those who are to be presenting themselves as living sacrifices, we want to include God in every aspect of our lives, don't we? There shouldn't be a single place in your life where God is excluded. If there's anywhere in your life today where you've excluded God, you've said, okay, Lord, you can have all of this over here, but you know, this right here, I'm going to keep. And maybe you haven't even consciously said that, because few people do. But the reality is that's what it comes down to. You've surrendered certain things to God, but you're still holding on to other things. If that's the case, then you're not really a living sacrifice. Because a living sacrifice is someone who is entirely consumed by God's presence and God's plan and purpose and God's will. And that's what we are called to be. Not conformed to this world that excludes God, but no, we're inviting God into every single aspect of our lives all of the time, every day. I want to be at a place where I'm just saying, Lord, just take all of me. Just, you know, whatever, if I am holding something back and I don't even realize it, Lord, I want you to take your rightful place over that. I read a quote this week I thought was relevant to this. Timothy Keller said this. He said, we will have an impact for the gospel if we are like those around us, yet profoundly different and unlike them at the same time. See, we're going to have an impact when we're like them around us, in the sense that, again, God is not calling us to change things external, the way we dress. You know, sometimes over the centuries, Christians have thought, well, you know, we've got to be different than the world, so we have to dress differently than the world. So we will make sure we're 10 to 15 to 20 years behind the fashion of the day. Now, there's nothing spiritual about that. There's nothing godly about that. And, you know, as I referred to earlier, we're the church where the gals don't wear makeup. You know, J. Vernon McGee, he was a guy, you know, from the South, and he was, you know, a down-home country boy. And you know, you could see somebody, you know, maybe coming from that culture, maybe even frowning upon the idea of women wearing makeup, but he wasn't like that at all. And you might have heard him if you've ever listened to him preach, but I'll never forget, you know, he was talking about the churches that would prevent the women from wearing makeup. And he said, well, you know, my philosophy is that if the barn needs painting, you paint it. And so, you know, that's just a good common sense philosophy, right? But the tendency to make it about externals. But I like what Keller is saying, that we need to be like the people around us. In other words, say, we don't want them to look at us and think, well, these people are freaks. These people are just weird. They're living in another time zone. No, a time era, really, not zone. And, you know, that's not it. So we're to be like them in that sense, but yet, this is the key, profoundly different and unlike them at the same time. How are we to be profoundly different and unlike them? We're to be profoundly different internally, that we're different from the inside out. That we're people, as I said, who are not excluding God from our lives. We're people who God is part of our lives. And so we go about our daily lives. We do life just like the people around us, but we do it differently in that God is part of it. Not only part of it, God is in control of it. He's Lord over it. And that is a beautiful thing. That's a powerful thing. So, presenting our bodies living sacrifice, not being conformed to this world, but now he says, rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed. That's what God is wanting to do. That's what he intends to do. He is wanting to transform us. Now, the word transform, it means simply to change into another form. The Greek word here is the same word used of Christ at the transfiguration. Remember, we read there in the Gospels that Jesus went away with his Peter, James, and John. He took them up to a high mountain, and it says, and he was transfigured before them. It's the same exact word, the same Greek word. Now, the transfiguration of Jesus was basically this, that his divinity, his glory that was veiled under his human flesh suddenly burst forth, and they saw the glorified Christ. So, when we're talking about this transformation taking place, this is what we're really talking about, that there is something that changes inside of us, and that this change inside of us results not in a physical change, but in a change of mind and heart that leads to a change of behavior and lifestyle.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Broderson. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Transformed, and the resource number is BBT0009. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together. Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.